Hello, and welcome back to another episode of AZ Update. I'm your host, Anthony Bartolo, joined by my co-host, Thomas Mara. Thomas, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing great. How about you?
Great. It's been a very busy week. I know a lot of us are filming segments for the new Azure Fundamentals course that's going to be updated on Microsoft Learn. I did two modules, just finished them this week. Thomas, how many have you put together?
I haven't really put a module together, but I was happy and put a couple of blog posts together. So yep. I focused a little bit on that. Great job with the Learn modules. Absolutely.
So, and that's the thing, and the Learn modules have been based on the feedback from everybody, you know, that watches the show. I know there's a couple of people online. Say hello to Paul Jensen and to Richard Hooper and others that are joining us in the chat room. And if you want to join us in the chat room, find us on YouTube on IT Ops Talk. And we are both live chatting with everybody that's on there as well.
Yeah, while we are not talking, I try to peek into the chat window. But we also have our producer, Pierre Romand, which is part of our team, taking care of all the production work and as well as on the chat. So definitely join our chat and say hello.
Perfect. Lots of news to get to talk about today. But really quickly, because there was a couple of news items that just came out, hot off the press. Azure CLI updates for June. 23 new modules launched for Azure CLI. And I bring this up just because I just finished recording the video yesterday on creation of virtual machines using Azure CLI. And, you know, you're looking through the list now, and I don't know if you had a chance to look through the list of all the modules that are available. It's pretty amazing in terms of what's now offered under Azure CLI. And I know a lot of people are like, it's command-based. I prefer the GUI. But if you're trying to automate what you're trying to accomplish in terms of creation of new solutions or creation of new services, you know, definitely check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to be honest, I like the CLI. I also like the PowerShell modules, but it's great to have now much more options, right? Especially if it was a little bit annoying in some cases where you didn't have a module available for a specific service which you wanted to create something. And so that is absolutely great. I'm not sure what it actually said. I just checked it out. You showed it to me like 5 minutes ago.
My bad.
But I read something that it also supports all the Azure services or something like that, close to all Azure services.
It's pretty close to all the Azure services. Storage is now included. Security is now included. Interestingly enough, there's now the ability to set up Azure Spatial Anchors. If you're dabbling in mixed reality, you're working with the HoloLens too, you can actually set up Spatial Anchors in Azure CLI. And Spatial Anchors, what that is when you're mapping out an area. I actually was part of a experiment one time where we took IoT devices, so physical anchors, in a space of 1 acre, and it allowed the HoloLens to understand where it was geographically in that 1 acre to create a full-on solution. This now takes the ability to do this virtually. You don't have to deploy IoT devices to do this and create these spatial anchors directly in Azure CLI using coordinates that are then fed into the HoloLens to understand where it lays inside of the geographical area to interact with, you know, a mixed reality object.
That's awesome. Now, I also saw a couple of them, and Pierre, I think, was very excited about having the option for creating peerings. I think a lot of people are looking forward for the VNet peering stuff. That's definitely an important one. But obviously, as I said, there are many, many, depending on which services you're working on, you're going to be happy with the new modules. There's also, by the way, an update, which we also didn't really include in the blog article about the announcement together with Docker, where now you can use Docker Desktop, the Edge version, so basically it's the preview version,
right?
You can use now the Docker CLI to create not only your containers on your machine, but also directly in Azure container instances. So you can just go and say, hey, okay, Docker run my container, whatever, from Docker container repository, and then you just run that in Azure Container Instance. You can also do Docker PS to see all the container instances you're running. So really exciting stuff. Again, keep in mind this is preview, so not all features right now are in there, but that is amazing too. And what I also want to share is the AC 104 Azure Administrator Exam just came out this week out of beta. So right. You can now take it. You get immediately results. For the people who have taken it during the beta time, they start to get the results. I think I got mine, which I'm, by the way, super proud of, yesterday, I think, or the day before. Can't remember. But I passed. Awesome. So I'm happy about that one.
Congratulations. So again,
thank you very much, Anthony. when are you taking yours?
Let's see. AZ-103 took me 6 months to write, so probably going to be another 6 months before you do 104. Not because it's, you know, it's difficult to do. It's, you know, something where you prepare for to write up the exam. It's just there's so much going on. Like, we're talking about news that we didn't even have until this morning. There's so many updates that are happening. There's so much that we're creating. This whole, you know, new world of human malware that we're dealing with means that we're doing a lot more online, which means we're doing a lot more filming and production online to make sure that we can keep in contact with you, those that are watching the show, those that read the blog, and those that we interact with. And that's why, too, you know, trying the new venues and the chat window that's available on YouTube that we're using to interact. We have a new segment this week. So, you know, we're on episode number 10, and we're introducing a new segment with a reporter on the go, Pumla Schmidt. And, you know, definitely, though, I got to sit down, take the time to write the 104. I'm also interested in writing the IoT exam as well. I helped deliver the beta to the IoT exam back, I believe that was in March. So I'm also on the docket to write that exam as well. But yeah, should we just get started with the news? The official news?
Absolutely. Well, just want to add, there's a person out there or who writes a couple of AC like study guides for the exam, so you should definitely check out his blog. But you're right, we are now going to the news, and we are starting with one thing which is not really a news, so that's great. So I'm going to share my screen here quickly. This week, the Azure team, like the team behind Azure.com, the website, published two blog posts, which are, for me, I was like super happy. It's not, again, it's not news, but they give you a little bit of insights how they actually run Azure.com on Azure. And again, no surprise here, it runs on Azure. It runs on a couple of PaaS services, as you would like architect your solution there. And they are describing what are they doing, what architecture, their decisions that they make on. So they like have obviously static websites for different products, but then they also have some interactive websites like the pricing calculator, for example, where people can go out and calculate the prices depending on different regions for different services and so on. There's a lot of things going on. And then they also shared a little bit of history here for Azure.com. So it started all in 2013 with like basically a couple of Azure services, like seven services they announced back then. And then they updated in 2015 to more, to a different platform, basically. And then today, they're hosting obviously over 200 Azure services, which are basically like describing what they do, how they work, and so on. And so they go into like their design patterns for this, how they design, what uptime they need, what SLA they need, and so on. And they describe that in the first one. But for me personally, I like the second part of it very much. And again, we have the links to these in our blogs as well. But there they go a little bit more into the architecture decision. And one of the, like, they share a graphic how they actually put these things together, because they run on Azure App Services, but in different regions. So they have app services in different regions where they use scale out. And then they put something in front of it, like Azure Front Door, to basically then distribute it to the perfect region. And it's a perfect example how you would run a website in Azure, right?
And what's great about this is, you know, producer Pierre, when we were talking about what we're covering in the news today, he kind of rolled his eyes and said, of course, Azure.com runs on Azure. But it's something where we're showing, we're being transparent as Microsoft to show how we're actually utilizing the services for our own use. And then sharing that with, you know, our customers to say, this is how we did it. This is the thought process behind how we did it. This is, you know, we're sharing this architecture and best practices with, you know, the world so that they can take it upon themselves to possibly replicate, or even, you know, I'm now going to ingest all the information that you provided me and do it my own way using your best practices as the guideline. That's the big benefit here in terms of this. Of course, Azure.com runs on Azure, but it's the transparency that Microsoft is actually offering to showcase, here's the architecture, here's the deployment, here's the security implementations that we put forth on this offering to share with the world so that they can take advantage of the learnings and implement it in their own needs.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, and this, the architecture they show, I would also find impressive is, like, they designed, obviously, Azure.com serves like millions of people a day, right? It's like huge. And they, especially if you have events going on like Ignite and Build, they bring a lot of people to those websites. So they need to have all that scaling in place. But the great thing I believe is that even though your website is probably not as large as Azure.com, maybe, you could still take that architecture and make it work for you, right? It gives you all the reliability, the security, the scaling part for your website with the same architecture. And then if you grow, you just scale out and you can, as Azure does, serve millions of users every day.
Let's continue on in the news because we have a jam-packed show today. Next up is a new preview made available on Azure Migrate. Azure Migrate now supports multiple credentials for the discoverability of physical appliances. So if you have physical servers that you're looking to migrate to Azure, you can now have multiple credentials inputted into the appliance to actually discover your on-premises implementations of Windows Server and Linux from the same appliance. And yes, Rick Claus, I did say on-premises. I did not say on-premise. I know he's watching, so I'm just going to call that out. The other aspect to this is they've increased now the per appliance discoverability of on-premises servers from 250 to 1,000. That means that you have to load less clients in terms of discovery of your implementation. But the bigger benefit is the multiple credential capability. So from the one appliance now, I can discover multiple on-premises implementations of Windows and Linux from the same appliance. So it's less installs for the appliance to do the discoverability. And all the documentation on docs.microsoft.com has also been updated to incorporate the new preview that's been available. Do understand that this is in preview. This hasn't launched in GA yet, but the functionality for testing and, more importantly, your feedback in terms of the implementation of this capability is now available online.
That's fantastic. Again, I know that a lot of customers were waiting for this because, it was not undoable, right? But it was kind of inconvenient, and the team was listening to the feedback and basically adding these capabilities. Oh, now that's great. So next section up, we have a new part of our show where we have Poola Schmidt, our remote reporter this week, covering a story about VMware on Azure.
So we'll throw it to Poola. Take it away, Poola.
Thanks, Anthony and Thomas. And I'm Poola Schmidt, and I'm here to chat with my good pal, Shannon. Hey, hi. Shannon, how are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's a little hot outside. I wanted to chat about VMware and Azure. I heard there's some hot stuff happening right now.
There is. So we're in the middle of our public preview. So we had a first version of this. We're in the middle of our second version of Azure VMware Solution.
Can we step back a little bit for those that don't actually know that we had version 1.0?
Sure. Sure, yeah. So this is a bare metal offering on dedicated hosts. So this is version 2.0, and it's an Azure first party service. So version 1.0 wasn't an Azure first party service. It was a partnership.
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah, we chose to change that up for version 2.0. We had listened to feedback from customers, and now everything's seamless, right? So if you're familiar with VMware on-prem, it's VMware in Azure. You're still accessing your environment the same way.
Let's break this slide down a little bit so our viewers can see, what are all the goodies here?
Sure. So we've got, the traditional VMware stack on-prem comprised of vCenter, ESXi, storage network, right? You've linked that with an express route with global reach that enables you to have your on-prem environment talk to what's in Azure. You've got all of the VMware goodies, right? So vCenter, vSAN, NSXT, vSphere, HCX, It just feels, it looks and smells like VMware, right? So it's all in your Azure Virtual Private Cloud. And then you've got ways of bolting on the Azure services. So I think of this as a massive win, right? The achievement unlocked. You get to Azure, you then kind of unlock all these other services that you can go make use of. So it's everything from Azure Security Center to Azure Monitor to Sentinel to, you know, cognitive services, AI, data platform, data analytics.
Okay.
Or reality.
As I cut you off here, what if I don't want all that?
Oh,
what if I'm not ready for that? Because there are certain organizations that, you know, all that AI, all that, you know, all that extra stuff you just talked about, I don't want that. Look, there's going to be some that don't even want to see the Azure portal. Is that possible?
It is definitely possible. So all you need is a vSphere environment or vCenter access by way of the web portal, and you can get into the same VMware environment that you're used to getting into on-prem.
So it's basically you can kind of trick your admins a little bit.
to some degree, if they got real savvy, they could find different pieces. So you could put, you know, your content library on blob storage. You'd see that blob storage URL.
But it's an easier transition.
Correct.
So it's not as shocking, like, oh my God, you're forcing me into Azure.
Right.
Where it's like, okay, I've got my vCenter, because we all love vCenter.
Right.
What about security roles, right? RBAC within the vCenter. I know that takes time to build and, you know, create the different groups and whatnot. Can we still carry that over?
You can. So it's just like a VM in Azure. You have Active Directory type roles and security permissions. Then you also have portal-based roles. The same concept exists within vCenter or VMware on Azure, I should say.
This is all great, but what's the real value, right? What is the real value in this for an enterprise?
Sure.
Because technically, they can take this type of setup and go to AWS. I'm going to say it, right? They can go to AWS. AWS is offering the same thing.
That's another vendor now that has an offering. You know, you're completely right. I think this is where it gets kind of cool to showcase, right? So Microsoft will maintain all of the physical pieces of your infrastructure, from your hosts to patching your hosts to power supply failures to networking problems. That layer specifically will reside in terms of Microsoft's responsibility. You'll be in charge of everything that you know and love about VMware, from templating to building out VMs to config management to lifecycling your whole entire workload and kind of upgrading. But all of the nuances of doing a vSphere upgrade, Microsoft will handle for you. Now you have capacity to defer some of this, right? Just like you would if it was a regular VM with Windows updates. But it's nice to know that you're not on the hook for that ESXi host upgrade or that vCenter upgrade where your
host
comes back online and there's no issues.
Speaking of host updates, how is that made? Like, is it forced? Or is it on your schedule? Because a lot of enterprises, hey, I'm only going to update on XYZ. This is my time frame. I don't want you dictating when I'm getting upgraded. And that's part of the reason why some enterprises are hesitant to go to the cloud, because of they're always pushing down updates. They're always making us go to the latest and greatest. What are the requirements in terms of you're always going to be at the latest version, or are you able to kind of be a rev behind?
You can be one version behind. It's like most of these subscription-based services. You want to be as close to current as possible.
Yeah.
Because you've got to think through troubleshooting and specific problems, but you can be one version behind what's current. And you've got capacity to defer that as well. So just know, if you want to be supported and you have a problem with your environment, PS, you're just calling Microsoft, you're not calling Microsoft and VMware, you want to be one version behind.
Okay. Well, you know, let's send it back to the guys, because it looks like we're out of time. Thank you again, Shannon, for giving us all the goodies here on our Azure or VMware on Azure solution.
Sure.
And, you know, maybe we'll chit chat again on AZ Update.
Sounds good.
Thanks again. And back to you guys, Anthony and Thomas.
Thank you, Pumala and Shannon, for that update on VMware on Azure. Thomas, have you had a chance to dabble in the new first party offering that we have?
Unfortunately, not yet. To be honest, I was like reading a little bit about the documentation. I had a look at it back in the days when it was, I think, with Cloud Simple or something like that, where we worked together with a partner. And Pierre just confirmed it was that simple. But then that company obviously got bought by one of our competitors. And now it really becomes a first party offering. And again, like with the details they shared with the integration into Azure directly, right? I think that is going to be one of the huge benefits of when you compare it to other solutions out there. But obviously, again, for a lot of customers, especially those who like have to migrate data centers, that's a great solution, right?
Oh yeah, you know, going from third party to first party, having it integrated into the Azure tool set that's available, managing everything from one single pane of glass, it's only going to get better in terms of the story for VMware on Azure. Let's continue on with the news. So next up is a big one for me because I enjoy IoT and implementation of IoT and architecture around IoT. Updates have been released for IoT Hub. The big news item here is if you've ever deployed IoT devices before, especially IoT devices on the edge where they have very limited connectivity and they do a lot of the calculation on their own, there is now the ability to create fallback routes for your data. So if your initial connection to your endpoint that's capturing information fails, what is the contingency plan for that device to relay information back when that failure does occur? Also, the ability to, you know, the hooks into Azure Monitor to ensure that there's a healthy connection between your device and your organization in terms of data capture. The ability to look at the diagnostic logs and provide more information. This update specifically addresses the health of your endpoints, your IoT devices that are out there to ensure that the information that's being captured in is, you know, it is safe. It is coming in as it's required to do. And if there are any hiccups in terms of connectivity, what is the contingency plan to ensure that you still get the data that's required? So we'll continue on.
Yes. So let me cover the next one. This one, again, it's from this week, but it's not like for me, it's already like this is already aged news now since it, I think it was released on Monday, but I should not call it aged news because our CTO, Mark Krasinovich, was sharing a blog post about the new stuff we are sharing with Azure Resource Manager, especially when it comes to infrastructure as code using Azure Resource Manager templates or ARM templates, as we also call it. And so they are sharing a couple of news and improvements to what you can do using ARM templates. And I know that a lot of people who are delivering their infrastructure as code, they're using Azure DevOps, for example, for CI/CD pipelines to deploy their services, continuously deploy the services on Azure. They are happy about these changes. And especially if you look at also other things like the Cloud Adoption Framework or the new Enterprise Landing Zones, those are great news improving those services. And so just to give you a couple of them, again, you can read through all of these as well, but there's a better authoring experience coming to Visual Studio Code. So if you're writing your ARM templates, Visual Studio Code is a great editor to write that. We also have, and I think that was in the news a while ago already, the what if deployment. So you can actually see, hey, what is actually going to happen before I actually deploy the template, which is very good. I like that option always in the PowerShell commands and its commandlets, which also have something similar called the what if parameter. And then I know what a lot of people were looking for was the possibility to actually deploy management groups and subscriptions, right? So before it, and resource groups, obviously, but like before, we could basically go out and just deploy our resource groups, our resources with using Azure ARM templates. And now we can start on a much higher level and basically go out and deploy whole enterprise environments using different subscriptions, using different management groups, and so on. So really, really appreciate these updates. Again, there's much more like reliability and quality improvements to Azure Resource Manager and the ARM template toolkit. There's a great video, I think, by Neil Peterson, which was formerly in our team and now joined the ARM team, about how to use it and how to write, for example, in like an ARM template in Visual Studio Code. I also know that producer Pierre was working with the ARM team, the Azure Resource Manager team, to create a Learn module on Microsoft Learn, which also allows you basically to learn how to actually write an ARM template.
For me, the what if, that's a big one because, you know, I usually, you know, do a lot of testing in lab. And so if I can do a what if scenario prior to deploying in lab, that's huge, right? And certain, and understanding what the actual template's going to be, or what I'm trying to deploy in terms of services, understanding what will occur prior to it even occurring. That's a big one for me.
So you can see that your ARM template will fail before you actually deploy it and fail with it.
Correct. just to confirm, you didn't call Mark Rozinovich aged. You just said the news was aged, right? Wanted to confirm that. Okay.
Well,
you don't want to upset Mark.
I have to ask him what he is actually like, what is like his diet or something like that, but it seemed to work for him quite well.
Oh, it works for him. He looks very young. Yeah, I agree 100%. Did you want to talk about a quick tidbit in terms of the events that are happening this week? Is there anything you want to cover?
Yeah, so there's a great Women in Tech show going on right now. I think they started at the same time as we did. So that is where all our 400 viewers or even more went, unfortunately. So that is a great event. So I definitely encourage you to turn in. There are some really great women speaking with different topics and sharing their experience there as well. We can definitely put the link later on. But there's also this like other funny news show, which we, well, it's not even really a news show.
Is it funny though? Do you consider it funny?
The logo is funny. I think the logo is funny.
It's like Three Stooges funny.
What is the name again of this show?
Patch and Switch. Patch and Switch is on in an hour and a half. An hour and a half? No. Yes, an hour and a half.
All right.
Time zones is hard.
So they are streaming on other platforms. They're streaming on Twitch. They're a little bit more of the hipster, not so serious type.
Should you just call them hipster?
I should not. I think no one of them has a beard or anything. So I don't think that works really well. But again, that definitely have a look at this. I enjoyed this show now. Like they're basically online. I think every second Friday, right?
Every second Friday, not every Friday like us.
Exactly. I don't know. They're like, they just don't have the creativity to be online every week, right?
That's it.
So. No, definitely enjoy that. I was watching this. It's run for years now, right? And they always do also these great, like, Patch and Switch. They also do these great, like the Ignite bag, for example, yep. Backpack. They always, like, make an unboxing of that and share their experience with that. So really definitely love that show to watch. It's really relaxing as well. And they have some great segments in their show. So definitely join it out. You can join them on twitch.tv/patchandswitch. One word, and hopefully let me see each other there
there in an hour and a half. So last segment of the show, we're looking at our Microsoft Learn module of the week. This week's module is the number one consumed module by IT administrators worldwide. It is the Cloud Concepts Principles of Cloud Computing module. It's on the blog in terms of the link. You go here. This will give you the core concepts around cloud computing. If you're moving from on-premises to in cloud and wanted to understand how your skills are transferable, this is the best place to get started. There are hands-on labs that are made available in this implementation of the module that allows for those that are traditional on-premises IT professionals moving to the cloud, best way to get started using this module. And with that, that's the end of our show this week. It's been a very busy show. There have been a lot of announcements. And as always, you know, thank you, producer Pierre, who can be followed at Wired Canuck on Twitter for all the efforts in the background, screaming in our ears, saying, don't say that. Don't call Mark Rozinovich old. That's actually how producer Pierre sounds. Pierre's screaming in my ear right now. And as always, my co-host, Thomas Maurer. Thomas, tell the audience how we can follow you online.
Just follow me at Thomas Maurer on Twitter. I think that's the great place to go. Or go to www.thomasmaurer.ch.
And follow the adventures of how social media is trying to influence Thomas Maurer to obtain a new kitten. There's a lot of talk about that online right now. And if you want to follow me for some reason, my name is Anthony Bartolo. And you can follow me on Twitter at Wireless Life. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on today's show. And we'll see you next week. Have a great weekend, everybody.